Let's move on to time cert number six.
Amend subrecipient contract with JOIN for $492,273 for housing vulnerable adults and outreach and housing placement to veterans and people experiencing homelessness in Multnomah County east of the Portland city limits.
And could you also read 7 and 8 as well?
7, authorize subrecipient contract with Catholic Charities for $110,000 for housing placement services for women. And number 8, amend intergovernmental agreement with Multnomah County for $355,000 for the Homeless Family System of Care Program.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In last year's budget, City Council allocated an additional $500,000 in new ongoing funds to additional services for people experiencing homelessness. Through a competitive process, which emphasized the priority populations identified in A Home for Everyone, including women, families, vulnerable adults, and veterans, as well as increasing access for people of color, three programs were selected for funding. The first is Catholic Charities Housing Transition Program, which will work with Rose Haven, Easter Seals, SAFES, and the New City Initiative to transition 40 women from the street into permanent housing. The second is the Homeless Family Program. We will build on its success of partnerships that it has, which rely heavily on culturally specific providers, to move 66 households into permanent housing, including 15 who have experienced domestic violence. The third investment is JOIN and Cascadia, which will continue their innovative partnership with public safety to permanently house 38 individuals. This is a program which started initially with one-time funds, and we are excited that it will be continuing as it proved to be a success. Here to talk about these programs are Margie Deshane, Catholic Charities Housing Transition Program Manager, Tana Sanchez, NEA's Director of Family Services, Will Harris, Interim Director of JOIN, and Assistant Chief Bob Day of the Portland Police Bureau. If you could all please come up. Might need to pull up an extra chair. Why don't you, Margie, why don't you go ahead and kick things off?
Morning, thank you. Housing Transitions is a housing first program that places homeless non-parenting women in permanent housing and then offers ongoing support for housing retention and community engagement. Our program operates a Monday through Friday drop-in center, women only, where women can access basic services like showers and laundry and food. It's also where we begin our relationship building with people and so that we house them and have an ongoing relationship with them for often a couple of years. Through the A Home for Everyone initiative, Housing Transitions will work with our longtime partners, Rose Haven, Salvation Army Safe Shelter, the Easter Seals Senior Employment Program, and New City Initiative to place at least 40 women in permanent housing and also to offer them opportunities for work and community engagement. We will meet women at the places where they're most comfortable, adding Rose Haven and SAFES to our existing outreach efforts, housing at least 10 women from each of these programs. The Easter Seals Senior Community Services Employment Program works with individuals 55 and older who do not have income and places them in community agencies half-time at no cost to the agency. We've referred many women to this program over the last few years, but have also benefited from having Easter Seals interns work as part-time staff in our program, both in our drop-in and our employment programs. These two interns have added to our capacity by the equivalent of a full-time employee, and our first intern from Easter Seals, a 58-year-old woman that we placed in housing a number of years ago, is now a permanent employee of Catholic Charities and works as a resident services coordinator at one of our housing sites. Through this initiative, Housing Transitions will be able to place at least 10 older homeless women in permanent housing, and Easter Seals will ensure their ability to have income, provide valuable assistance to other community programs, and to maintain their housing on their own. New City Initiative engages faith communities in providing programs and services to formerly homeless individuals. We have partnered with New City in our Healthy Sisters program, which engages volunteers to provide practical assistance and health information to formerly homeless individuals and to improve their overall health and also to engage in community after placement. New City provides volunteer-driven social activities, giving the women a richer life, reducing the isolation women often experience after moving indoors, and enhancing housing retention. Housing Transitions expects to house at least 40 homeless women through this initiative, and we're so grateful to you for giving us the opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Tana, you want to talk about the homeless family system?
Yes. Well, good morning, and we want to actually thank you so very much for this opportunity. Not only NAIA Family Center, but SEI, Human Solutions, Catholic Charities El Programa Hispano, Portland Homeless Families. Goodness, am I forgetting something? No, I'm not. That's it, I think. Anyway, we're all just very, very excited about the opportunity. There are so many, especially communities of color, that struggle with homelessness, and in such a way that it's a little bit different. Not all of them are accessing the shelters. Not all of them are really putting it out there that they're struggling with things. Many of them are doubled up and even tripled up in families and living in places that obviously are not meant to be lived in. So this is just an amazing opportunity. The team is very, very excited about having some additional resources to work with. They've done some amazing things with families, and they've broken down some barriers that were just even minimal things. I mean, I just want to tell you about one in particular. We had a family that they couldn't get into housing because they had a legal issue that had been from another state far away. I think it was Georgia or something that had a legal issue that kept the man from getting his ID, saying that he had something on his record. And one of our homeless team members was able to, you know, make communication with that district and talk to them about the situation and ask them to if they could reduce the fee to so that they could pay the fee and be able to let that go and get his ID and be able to get into housing. And it was an amazing thing that it just took a few weeks for them to be able to do that. And that's something we didn't even think about that could happen. But this is the things that our mobile housing team are thinking about, like, how do we do this? How do we eliminate, you know, problems that are legal issues or that are, you know, back rent that from who knows when or something that happened a long time ago to help these families get into housing, and it's working. That's the most amazing thing about it, is that it's working, and they're able to think of these things, and they're able to help talk with landlords and help people make that communication that maybe they didn't have that opportunity before. Maybe they didn't understand, like, how do I go about this? How do I explain this situation? And sometimes this is obviously with families who have never been homeless in their lives and they didn't know what to do next. So it's a really amazing opportunity to have all of these team members working together and figuring out how do we best serve the people in the city of Portland. So thank you so much for that opportunity.
Thank you, Donna. Will?
Thank you. Really appreciate this opportunity to share Joyn's work inside this Home Start initiative. Joyn Street Outreach brings us into relationship with a highly vulnerable population. They're facing deep and complicated challenges, multiple obstacles to transition off the street. In many cases, this population has had repeated interactions with public safety, is accessing community resources. And we're here to thank Commissioner Saltzman and Council for dedicating some critical resources through this Home Start initiative to help overcome those challenges to housing success that so many of this population face. Our collaboration is built on a strong working relationship with the Portland Police Bureau and brings additional resources to that relationship and emphasis. Officers on the street have access to a 1-800 number that connects them to Joyn Outreach, as well as a dedicated email, as well as the personal relationships with each of Joyn's outreach workers and now Cascadia Behavioral Health workers, which is an important addition to this process. We find that a lot of times that the basket of available services, it's the mental health that's been missing, is folks that have been on the street for a long time. And having a Cascadia mental health worker available has been critical. And in many instances in creating that basket of services that is going to help somebody be successful in a transition. To date, going back to the origins of this funding, we've helped 47 highly vulnerable people move off the street and into stable housing. Those are safe places where they can explore other interests and add value to their life. And I'd like to share a story of one individual. man named Michael, who's been homeless for, or had been homeless for over a decade in inner southeast Portland, regular at St. Francis Dining Hall. We'd connected with him about 3 years ago, and the extent of his challenges were so pervasive that about all he could remember day to day was the name of his joint outreach worker. And we would get calls from St. Francis staff and from him asking about his disability check, which he did get, but he couldn't remember who his payee was, how to access his check, how to access his disability benefit, how to use that in any fashion, how to live on his own. And through that process, he probably epitomizes the vulnerability that some folks face on the street. He was preyed upon repeatedly, and as that victim of crime, had so many interactions with public safety. And it's something that we don't normally think about in terms of how homeless people interact with public safety. They're victims of crime as well. And so using funding in this initiative, we were able to connect with a Cascadia mental health worker who was then able to leverage Cascadia's other resources around mental health services and find him placement at the Royal Palm, where he's able to access a really supportive community, group therapies, and other process through which he can develop the skills around a daily routine. And if we can get somebody stabilized in a place where that they can create that daily routine, other things become possible. Bandwidth exists to explore other interests. And I think when we think about this funding, at least from our expensive perspective and our role in this, is how do we not only place people into housing, but how do we recreate value in their life? How do we let them have the resources to recreate added value in their lives? And I think we've done that with this funding with people like Michael. I'm very thankful that Council dedicated these resources, and we're very excited to continue to expand this collaboration outside downtown into other high-impact areas like Northwest Portland and St. John's, among some of them. So thank you.
Thank you, Will. Chief Day?
Good morning, Council, Mayor. Thank you. I just want to start out saying grateful, Commissioner Saltzman, for this opportunity, for this ordinance. I remember as a young police officer being assigned to the Mounted Patrol Unit in the early 90s and addressing some of our chronic homeless and camping issues. I can still vividly remember one night being on the Burnside Bridge issuing multiple citations and taking a very enforcement approach at that time with very little consideration about where do people go or where do they need to go and how are their needs met. And I'm embarrassed by that because I think that was out of ignorance on my part, out of ignorance as an organization for the police bureau, but I am so immensely pleased with our efforts over the last couple of years. And it's been a learning process for me at Central Precinct to come alongside so many great partners like at this table and otherwise, and to have the city's support to be able to do that. And most importantly, to not only get people into housing and the story of Michael that we just heard and so many others, which I can relate on a personal level from our officers' experience, but I'm now able to direct our officers who are trying to balance community needs, criminal behavior, with also people that are just in need of assistance or experiencing homelessness or mental health or drug and alcohol addiction, all the things that play into this. We're able to actually provide resources. 20 years ago when I was out there, I didn't have any idea who existed and where to direct people. I just knew that you couldn't be here right now and you needed to leave. And now, you know, even our terminology within the police bureau, we talk about outreach, and we begin all of our conversations with an opportunity to direct them to other areas besides the criminal justice system. And that has been such a blessing, not only, I believe, for the individuals, but I want to speak for the members of the police bureau that are out there and feel like they have other options besides just enforcement. And this funding really allows for that, and I am grateful for the partnerships. We're all learning as we go, and I think, you know, we're a little late to the table, but we're getting there, and I appreciate your support for that.
Thanks, Chief. Appreciate it. Great.
Questions for this panel? All right. Thank you
all.
Thank
you very much.
And let's see if there's anyone else that would like to speak really on any of these items, 6, 7, or 8.
We had 4 people sign up.
Okay.
The first 3, please, coming up are Margie Deshane, Joe Walsh, and Mr. Lightning.
Ms. Deshane's been with us. So
yeah, she already spoke.
Okay.
And Charles Johnson can come on up, too.
Thank you.
Who was first? I'm sorry.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. We have a concern about the administrative costs of these programs. What happens usually with this council is you allocate money and then you go on to something else because you're busy and you do other things. And I understand that. It's not a criticism. It's a fact of life. You do a lot of different things. Our concern is that you not allocate this kind of money and then just forget about it. Now, also, we have a question about, and I think I'm right on this, this is outside of the city limits on the east side of the county. Is that correct? That's what it says. It says it's the county, well, Walden city limits.
The homeless family system operates countywide.
All right, but then why do you have city limits in there? You say county and city limits. It seems to me what you're saying is that you're going way out east, which I have no objections to, but you have 2,000 to 3,000 people right here in the city that can't find a place to sleep. So where are all those funds? So I look at this, and two things come to mind. Join does a really good job moving people in from temporary housing into permanent housing. Outstanding work. I mean, they're going straight to heaven on that one. However, their outreach is questionable. And we're hearing on the street that they're being told that Join has a waiting list of 3 to 6 months to see a caseworker. So in my mind, you would come up to somebody on the street and say, hey, would you like housing? And they say yes. And they say, well, okay, fill out this form and we'll get back to you in 6 months. Now, if that's the program, somebody ought to say that's not good enough. So there's two things here. Let me wrap this up. There's two things that I'm concerned about. Number one, and I think Commissioner Salzman said I'm wrong on this, and the way it's written up led me to believe that it's way on the east side of the city limits. It should be here and there. Okay, I don't know how you do that, maybe $200,000 each way, but you have people right in front of your offices that are on the street. Why would you go way out there to find them? Thank you.
I think as I read the ordinance, maybe you can respond to this, Commissioner Salzman. We've already amended another intergovernmental agreement under item number 4 of the ordinance to accept an additional $273 in county general funds in order to pay for the portion of the work that's outside of the city limits. So they're paying for the portion of the work that's outside of the city limits.
Yeah, we'll talk to the county about that tomorrow morning.
Hang on, let me answer your question. So they're paying, we're not paying for services outside of the city limits. They are, because the county provides
a variety of services. But you're coordinating it, at least.
And then we have the contract with Join, right?
That's right, and so, that's problematic.
Okay, but as long as you know that the color of money is right here, and that is the county's paying
for all tax money, Mayor.
Sure, sure. But you raised a question, is why would the city of Portland spend money outside the city limits?
No, I said, why would you spend money to do this kind of stuff? All right, you're an elected official, so is the county. We will talk to the county tomorrow about this.
Okay.
But I'm saying you have a responsibility also because you're saying you're the contractor in this. So I'm saying, Mr. Contractor, I want you to look at this very carefully and say, is this the best use of the money? And I like Join. I'm going to say that straight out. I love them. I don't like them in their outreach programs.
Okay. Good. Thank you. All right. Lightning, good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning PDX Humanitarian. Again, Commissioner Salzman, I want to commend you on your efforts on this. Any money directed toward the homeless situation is positive in this city or Multnomah County. A concern I had originally on this is is just to make sure that the funds from Multnomah County, since they do also have a surplus, are being paid from Multnomah County on the east side where it's necessary to do that. And I understand that's what you're doing on this. Now, a couple other concerns. Again, I was very impressed with the joint speech and also the officer that was up here. We're making great changes pertaining to the homeless. I think we're making great strides. I think that we need to keep focusing on the addictions that a lot of people do have. We need to offer better treatment. We need to treat them better. We need to understand that when we do remove them, where do we remove them to? And that has been stated today. We're looking at that very close. And to also understand what is the best treatment for people that really need certain services provided where they might not be able to get into other type of housing because of their addictions. We need to keep focusing on that. I want it focused on the suicide prevention aspect of this. We need to understand that a high percentage of homeless people that are heroin addicts do commit suicide. It goes down the list of meth addicts. It goes down the list of cocaine. It goes down the list of alcohol. We need to focus on that and keep a close eye on that and understand that treatment is out there, and we need to keep providing that and understand when you remove people, it creates a lot of stress in their lives. They've been displaced out of their homes, from their jobs, from their friends, and where they're out on the sidewalks, out on the streets, they're looking for more positive solutions, which the speakers have stated they want to go in that direction. Again, Mayor, I'm going to compliment you on the bigger picture of homelessness, because I was listening to it's called Aspen Ideas. It's where some of the founders of certain companies in other states go and have discussions. And Brian Chesky from Airbnb at that meeting said that because of Mayor Hales, I'm looking at doing more things toward affordable housing and also the most vulnerable people in the city. That is the biggest direction that we need to have, is people coming into this city understanding, if we talk shared economy, we need to also understand the homeless communities are part of the economy, and you begin to share that responsibility also. And that's what was stated. And if we can continue to do that from the get-go, we're going to end chronic homelessness in this city, and we will maintain chronic homelessness from the first year and let these other services step in and provide the service they need. Ending chronic homelessness can be a reality with the right people brought in and the right resources from these other companies that are billion-dollar companies coming into this city and stating that they're listening to you close on the issues of homelessness. Thank you.
Lightning, can I just add? Yes. Could you give us afterwards the reference to where this gentleman said what you've just quoted?
Yes, sir. You can pull that up at the internet. It's called Aspen Ideas, Brian Chesky, founder of Airbnb, and that'll be...
I'm delighted to hear he stated that as a goal, and we'll be looking for that. We'll be looking closely at the details.
let me answer that if I can, please, sir. He stated that as a direction he'd like to look into to be part of the solutions through the city. There's no other commitments there, and I respect that he's at least thinking about it, looking at it, and determining how they want to spend their resources in this city. That changes the whole dynamics of homelessness through this city, to have people do that before they enter with their businesses.
Well, Commissioner Saltzman has proposed we take 100% of the revenue from Airbnb and we address affordable housing, which I support. And if the president of the company believes he wants to use some of his revenues to help address affordable housing, I think we could potentially have a marriage made in heaven. So I'll pull it up.
Your numbers might be a little bit high, but their intent to look at it and address those issues is one of the most positive things that we can have going forward in this city. And it will change the dynamics of ending chronic homelessness. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Johnson, good morning.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. My name is Charles Johnson, and I don't know which is a more contentious phrase around here, Airbnb or the United States of America versus the City of Portland for the conduct of the Portland Police Department. But it was encouraging to hear the officer's words about improvements in interactions with homeless people and people in distress here. However, when we look at these items 6, 7, and 8, and we begin to see the paperwork blossom, 12 pages here, 21 pages there, 6 pages there, we haven't even talked about the fact that there's other contracts with REACH and Hacienda. That just adds more weight to Mr. Walsh's words that we have to wonder about oversight and administration. Obviously, these funds need to be released. You need to vote yes on these items. But we need to have a more comprehensive number and fact-based discussion than what happens with the Coordinating Council to End Homelessness or the Coordinating Council to Perpetuate Jobs at TPI and REACH and Hacienda and JOIN. And you can see this list is getting long, and we haven't even talked about the new person appointed to the Housing Home Forward Board. So in the anecdotal stories that were brought up, and the reason I mentioned the United States of America versus the city of Portland is that's supposed to have some crisis services, a mental health drop-in center. And even though it's a nice story about releasing money, it was a story of failure. It was a story of making up for a mistake. And I hope that our fellow citizens will continue to not just pressure you, but also work with you creatively to have solutions so that people who have mental health and barriers to housing don't have any time on the street, that they can actually just go into Cascadia or Cascade Mental Health Services, get treatment, not go back to sleeping on the street, not be given a ticket for $5 nights on the floor at City Team. And with Senator Wyden having been in the area for the past few days for his town halls, I just want to remind everybody who has a complaint about the way people are stacked up sleeping along NATO Parkway under the Morrison Bridge that they need to engage with their federal officials and restore funding that was taken away that was formerly keeping people safely and humanely housed and now has them out on the streets in the elements. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all. Anyone else want to speak on these items? Come on up. Morning.
Morning, Council. Mayor. my name is Stephen Entwistle. I represent Individuals for Justice, and I also represent the Healing Man Sanctuary. I would like to address the few issues that I see. And what I see is from certain enforcement individuals, a culture of hate against people that are experiencing homelessness. And there's a brutality that is used to intimidate and more or less, I don't like to use the word, but terrorize people that are homeless. And I see this, and I see the effects of this, and this is not good. This is not good. This is not what we want in our city. We talk about how the good things that we do, and that's good, everything that we do. But this has to stop. And I would just also like to say that we should make it a hate crime for anybody to beat up on homeless people just because they're homeless or just because they're financially struggling. That could be any one of your cousins, your aunts, your fathers, anybody, and your family. You know, Mr. Salzman could have a cousin out on the street, and if a cop's beating him up and he's not doing anything bad, he's not saying anything, you know, what does that say about our society? You know, I'm just, you know, these things happen, and I think we need to take concern on that. We can do much better. We don't have to worry about giving money to the homeless. You know, it's not going to hurt them. There's certain things. People know what to do with money, and that money is a shortage right now for people. People aren't going to be clamoring over the borders trying to get over here because it's so good for homeless folks. Okay, that's a myth. That never happens. Okay, but that's something that is preached here. There's like an invisible red line here from the help from the folks in our government to the people that are actually going through the hardest times. And I think we need to take a harder look at this and look at more solutions. The more solutions, the better. The more options, the better. Every little bit of help, every little bit helps. Greatly it does. But we shouldn't limit the options, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Angela Hammett. I'm here representing Individuals for Justice. And I'd just like to take the opportunity to say thank you for everything that you are pulling together. It can't be easy. It's a major problem. And I know that you've put hours and hours and hours into helping the situation. I appreciate your task force that I believe you're in charge of, Amanda Fritz, with the mental health workers responding with the police. The only thing I would change is that I would have the mental health people arrive in their own vehicles, not in the police cars. It's still intimidating. They might not be getting out with a big gun, but they got a man with a big gun there with them. And that is a very intimidating for mentally ill. It's intimidating for me. I don't feel like there's a power. I don't have a gun and a badge, you know, so I don't have the power that they have, and so it is intimidating. I would like to talk about, I don't know how or if you have any control or, you know, if you have anything to do with these, but the JOIN, the SAFES, the Salvation Army for Women, all of the programs that I've seen, that I've come in contact, that I've taken people to get help, there is a breakdown there. I took one gentleman in to get help. He needed a payee, and they ended up stealing his money. And so I thought I was helping someone, and what I did was send him to the wolves. TPI will never send anybody to TPI again. It's the workers, not so much in the top, SAFES. You walk in there, and you are treated disrespectfully. You're treated like the bottom of somebody's shoe, you know. I think that those places could hire the people that actually need the place rather than hiring people that aren't there. They have no compassion. They have no empathy. They are there to pick up a paycheck, and you are a pain in their butt. That's just how you're treated when you go into these places. And I appreciate what you're doing, but it would be nice to put... I see women there sweeping the floors, mopping the floors. You know, they want to be working. They want to do their share. They want to pull. They're not getting paid for it. They get to sleep on a floor and a mat. That's what they get. And the other people that are working, they should not be working there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much. Okay, anyone else? If not, then these are emergency ordinances. Let's take a roll call vote on each, please.
Okay. Item 6, Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Dan, thanks for your leadership on this. To our trusted mission-based nonprofits, thanks for the great work that you do in the community. To Sally, Ryan, and the gold medal team at Housing for the work you do. And we've had a number of people testify today that we're still falling short. The one thing I think we can predict with certainty is that we'll be fewer, not more, dollars coming from the federal government now that the Republicans control both bodies. So we will not be seeing an increase. And remember, the last two candidates for president of that party suggested we abolish the Department of Housing and Urban Development as not being a priority bureau for the agency for the federal government. So we're not likely to see more federal dollars. And that's one of the reasons why I will support Commissioner Saltzman's proposal in the regular budget that we take $5 million of the one-time general fund money in this year's budget, and we apply it to his housing investment fund, because the only way we're going to solve this problem is to increase the supply of affordable housing. There is a shortage. We must attack it from the point of view of adding to the supply, and I think Dan has the right idea with the HIF, and I will support that during the budget cycle. Thank you, Dan. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to thank the providers who presented to us today for their great work, and I also want to recognize Sally Erickson and Ryan Dibert and Shannon Singleton of the Portland Housing Bureau for providing careful oversight and administration and making sure that these dollars are achieving good results. And I think we heard evidence of that by our invited panel today. So I'm very pleased to support this and thank the council for their commitment of this ongoing funding of $500,000 a year. Aye.
Novick.
Thank you, Commissioner, and thanks to everybody for your testimony and your work. Aye.
Hales.
Yes, thanks, Commissioner Salzman, for your leadership in this community and council priority and for these great partnerships administered through the Bureau with people that really do care. Obviously, there are places where we always have to work on how we deliver those services, and obviously, as Commissioner Fisher pointed out, we need to find local strategies for solving these problems, because help from Washington on a number of fronts is not likely to be forthcoming. So we as a community have a habit of coming together and finding the ways and means to make a difference, and this is a good example in each of these cases of how we do that. Thank you. Aye. Okay, number seven.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Number eight.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Salzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay.